say here covered me on the part where you say that people can actually still read and see those that are missing and then actually send them in writing.
Absolutely. I want to say that I can still predict what you are going to say. I notice you are waiting there.
Thank you very much, Chair.
And that is Lau and Honourable Adrian Williams from Secunda, Independent Republic of Balfour, Abuja.
Chair, I'm sorry to say we had a quick caucus here while we gathered, and we are absolutely not ready even to engage the report because we received it very, very late today. So we were promised, I was here yesterday especially to come and look at my pigeonhole because it was promised that there will be a hard copy, and last night I did receive an email. So what I'm just trying to say is, will it really be of benefit for us to have any discussion this afternoon? There was also an idea from one of our members whether it isn't perhaps the best thing to do that the different groups meet and just quickly look at their visits and what transpired from that before we come together as a group, that might also be a consideration we can take into account. But on the other hand, we feel that the recommendations are general about all the aspects, so that is okay, and we really want to come to the recommendations which should come from all the groups, so that won't make a big difference. So it was said on the other hand that if everyone just makes sure that the reports from their respective groups are in order, then we won't have a problem that we should meet apart. So Chair, really you must understand it's not that we're trying to be difficult, but any meaningful discussion this afternoon would be very, very difficult from our side. Thank you.
Great. Next. Yeah, Chair, I have read it either. I mean, I can see reading it, but I didn't say that this, but I wouldn't describe it. It's a bit of a nightmare to read 200-page report, I must admit. But I'm sure there's lots of good content in there. No, Chair, I just wanted to say, as a general observation, I mean, this doesn't have a bearing on what is in the report, but what should be in the report. And that is that I think if one has regard to the various other initiatives that had been initiated by, for example, the executive, by the Green Party, by others who are all investigating civil delivery projects and coming up with recommendations and conclusions and what have you, and observations, then presumably the reason Parliament initiated its own project was in order to add value. So the question I want to ask of the drafters of this is to what extent our recommendations, observations, what have you, actually add value to to what actually was happening on the ground. I mean, if we're merely parroting what the executive or the department or anybody else did, then I'm not quite sure what purpose it served. So I imagine that we have a comprehensive but practical implementable recommendations. Just general recommendations, say, there's strength and capacity building. It's not going to excite me too much. It would be useful if the recommendations are concrete and then supplement other things. Thanks.
Next, Comrade
Slough. Chairperson, I hear what my two colleagues from DA are saying. I do not necessarily disagree with them. I think
the IFP.
Well, altogether they form part of the opposition.
But I remember the idea of people saying anything they like.
Okay. And the IFP. I think what is important, Chairperson, is that despite the fact that each of the in between the follow-up meeting that between this meeting and the follow-up meeting that you would convene, Chairperson, to look at these recommendations. don't have a problem with that, Chairperson, but I think what is more important is that when this committee makes a report with recommendations to Parliament as at the end of its life, we cannot, Parliament will not, and I do not believe we should, accept the fact that we will be reporting as three different entities of the same thing. We should be able to develop one common set of recommendations that we are saying to Parliament, this is where we go. And when we do that, Chairperson, we must take into cognizance the fact that the subject matter we have been appointed for, which is service delivery, does not end with the lifespan of this committee. Service delivery is a matter that will always be there for the term of office that we are here and beyond. And whatever recommendations we do should be looking at those kinds of areas. Having looked at it, I have read it, but I have not studied it. One of the things I have seen in it has been that other subcommittees have made recommendations, municipality by municipality, and others have identified issues but have left recommendations for this level. And we obviously have got to try and look at the short-term and the medium-long-term recommendations as we come up to that. I think the discussion now is around whether we should discuss or we should not discuss. That's the recommendation of what they say. Your ruling says no way. Agreed, Chair. I agree with you. Okay. Okay, Chair. Okay, Chair. Now, as regards the short-term issue of what should happen in the various municipalities, as mentioned in here, one may say yes, to those recommendations, Chairperson, but the issues as have been raised here are issues that are not resolving the problem of service delivery in the long term. They are the issues that are saying because there is an administrator there and at some point they will become the council will go back to the normal operation of the council, therefore this person must be given a longer term in order to take the others on board and so on. I don't believe those things are helpful much, but my view was that we should look at the end of the term or the end of the life of this committee and say what replaces the committee as part of our recommendations. And my view on that, Chairperson, is that as we end as a committee, it would be proper to locate the role of Parliament oversight on service delivery somewhere. The current, I wonder if I should go up to as far as that, or can I go into this principle first and leave it there?
Chairperson, I also just read the report. I think that one thing that the report didn't address was the situation around the people of South Africa not taking responsibility to get involved in government structures, for instance, ward committees, street committees, community policing forums, school governing bodies, hospital management committees, etc. And I think that's important as we are trying to build a people-driven developmental state, that we need to emphasize that the people actually have to assist us in running this country, because that's the point. You know, the people shall govern. I'm not expecting them just to make a vote every 5 years and then hope for the best. And we need we need to put emphasis on this point that people should be encouraged directly to participate in organs of the state.
Chair, I'm in the same position as people who say they haven't yet had enough chat because I received this this morning, so I didn't read it. But I think what came out of the discussion as we were moving around was the... Sorry, Chair. I'm sorry. Anyway, there is somebody who doesn't want me to talk to you. You get the prize. But basically, what I want to say is that as we are moving around, there was concern from people generally to say, how different are you from others who came before you and who said, what are your problems and all that, and the same problems were never solved. So at the end of the day, we should be able to say, for the sake of the credibility of Parliament, we should be able to say, maybe after a year or so, whatever recommendations we made per department, that this department must do this, this one must do this, we should be able to monitor about whether those recommendations have been implemented. And if they have been implemented, so that we can go back to people and say, we're here. In any format, it doesn't matter whether Honorable Slough, it is the same committee or other committees, but somehow we have got to go back to the people to say, we're here and here are the things you raised, and this is how they have been resolved by Parliament. Usually, people didn't see the difference between us and the executive when we were there. They were seeing us as the same group of people. So we have got to find a way of going back, whatever recommendations we make.
I think we're just making general comments, all of us, because we're not ready to report. But my general comment is that in looking at the recommendations, our focus must not be on the quantity of recommendations we make, but on the quality and the substantive nature of the recommendations, how implementable it is. I just want to focus on one or two things. I'm combining this, the oversight that we undertook together with some of the oversight visits in our portfolio committees that we've made in many of the areas. What is clear is that when we say the municipal budgets are inadequate to cover some of the demands of the community, we are not taking into account the seriousness of the backlog that we inherited from the past. And if we draft this proposal on the basis that these backlogs can only be attended to by the current budget of municipalities and COFCA, it seems to me that 20 years down the line, we'll be setting up another ad hoc committee to go and investigate the problem. Unless we say to ourselves, there should be a special fund to specifically address backlogs in some of the respects. And I really want to underscore this point. Without, in a normal budget, because the way we're doing things is as if things are normal, we've inherited a normal situation and we're continuing a normal, therefore the budget. But in any case, even in a normal situation, the budget tends to fall back because funds are never adequate to cover all the needs of the country. Now, this for me was also, this thought was triggered by what the Minister of Human Settlement said when we encountered the thing. And I think the Deputy President, when he was talking last week, I think was addressing questions, he was using examples of some of the townships in Sweden, where even though people the reticulation of infrastructure has taken place in the townships. This can't be connected to the mains because the pipes are small and they are bursting. So in reality, and we saw this in Alexander, we saw this in Orange Farm 2 weeks ago, where every house, 98% of the houses are connected, but they are not connected to the main, because each time the sewer runs into the street. And you need so many billions to actually address that. So you will have a protest, even though you think you have delivered the service, because the service is actually not working. So I'm saying government has spent money, but actually the service is not servicing the people. So this is a challenge that I think we need to look at. Now, in one of the areas, I don't know, maybe some of these things are covered here. But one of the things that some of the problems we create ourselves. What we saw in Tembisa, for me, was a recipe for a disaster. First, there was an informal settlement. Then they wanted to redesign, plan the township properly, so they created streets and took people from some of these areas where they want to, and put them in one side. So they put five families or four families in one side. And each of those sites is very far. But nobody has got a title deed to that site. One of the shacks has got electricity. The other people in that site, for them to have access to that electricity, if they connect to the illegal, is not illegal. And they've got to, this person's neighbor has got to be present. Otherwise, if he locks or she locks his house or her house, the other has no electricity. One day, when you want to build, the question is, as it stands now, people are fighting over whose fight is that in the first place. Who does it belong to? So already we've created, and this is a big area that has got that, and it's formalized. So I'm saying, there are many things, I mean, I don't want to talk about the general services about water and what we know, but the reality is that there are a number of things where we're actually, as we correct one, we're actually creating more problems, because there's no systematic approach to this. Very last picture is the issue for me that is really bothering, where people have registered for houses, they've got title deeds, they've been given the houses, but illegal have forcefully occupied their houses, so they sit without houses. The people who have no right to have a house, they actually occupy the house. The ones who have got title deeds have no home. That, again, is a serious threat, because you're going to find these people demonstrating. They want their house and they've got a title deed. But there's no way, the people who are living there, they're already extending those houses. Illegal. So again, for me, this is disaster, because it means there is no leadership. We are not giving leadership to the community and, I mean, running the country in the proper way. That's really the problem. I'm not trying to talk politics, but really these are some of the things that are a recipe for a chaos in this country. In the long run, you'll have many homes where there are no type of grief, or even the grief register doesn't know who owns which house when you want to transfer houses.
Thank you, Chairperson. Very many of the people that attended our public hearings were very skeptical about the committee. Their perception was that we're visiting just another parliamentary committee, and that when we leave, things will return to normal, there will be no change. Now, Chairperson, in that regard, there were, in addition to the general recommendations, there were very many cases where there were specific problems mentioned. And certainly the group that I was with, the chairperson, took some of the officials to task, and in many cases promises were made during those public hearings, where within specific times, either senior officials and or senior politicians gave undertakings in the public hearings that they would attend to certain issues that could have been attended to within a short space of time. I'm a bit disturbed, Chairperson, and I don't expect it perhaps to be reflected in this report, but there should be a parallel report whereby those particular issues that were raised and where undertakings were given, that within whatever period of time it would be a great that we actually follow up on those things. Otherwise, in fact, it will just be another parliamentary committee that doesn't oversight and things return to normal. That's the one issue that I want to raise, Chairperson. And then the second, I've scanned through the report, and certainly half of it, and one of the things that I would just need to like to highlight is that where we mention figures, whether it is money or backlogs or things like that, that we just confirm those. Because the one that springs, that comes to mind here, is on page 54, where it talks about 300 billion rand just to supply water to Limpopo. Now, I know it was a vast amount that was mentioned, but 300 billion rand is, excuse my French, but a shitload of money, Chairman. I'm not sure if that figure is correct, and I'd like to see that when we put figures like this in a report, that it must be credible. So if they could just, where we've got figures, if we could just relook at them and make sure that it's correct, Chairman. Thank you.
Not having read the report and just flicking through it as you're reading now, I must admit, I think the structure of the report is such that essentially you get 180 pages of which recommendations comprise 3 pages at the end. And the recommendations that are here are in the form of general across the whole field recommendations. Now, the first thing I think is that perhaps there's room for 2 sets of recommendations then arising from all the inputs that colleagues made. And one is the general thing of this nature. The other is dealing with the individual municipalities we actually visited. Now, a lot of them, I don't know if it's uniform, but the one that just quickly comes through here, referring to a visit to a particular municipality, doesn't make recommendations. I don't see, in respect to individual municipalities, where the committee makes recommendations or there's a report on recommendations. It just lists to your problems. So maybe we need to have some form of dealing with those problems form of recommendations in this report. I mean, I don't believe, unless there's a recommendation made there that there's some permanent body that attends to this problem in Parliament on an ongoing basis, I don't believe that the portfolio committee that which you chair is in the position to follow up for all these issues at a local level. It's just too much to be on your agenda permanently. So the question is, I'm not quite sure the exact number of municipalities that were visited, but there's a whole list that were visited, all had problems. And the question that arises to Butcher now is what happens in respect of when the committee sat there and engaged with those people, what are their expectations? Very often, even though the explanation was that we were there to look at what was happening in order to draw up a general picture of the country of what's going on, they, I think, in many instances, have an expectation that something will happen to improve the situation, even if there are no recommendations made. So we need to be able to do something about that. And whether it's referred to the province specifically, or to the department to be able to extract from each of the local municipal issues that which they can pursue through some technical intervention, through the kind of things or whatever, I don't know. But some process to deal with those. And then secondly, Chair, just looking at the general recommendations. I mean, it's only 3 pages, I know, but some of them really, I'm just glancing at one now, it doesn't really excite me. I mean, if I look at here, general recommendations on service delivery, it says nothing. What? No, I want to give you an example of the general.
In other words, more around the general principles.
Yes, well, this is the general principles. The general principle I want to make then, in terms of the way the document is done, is that the general recommendations at the end need actually to be reflecting fairly comprehensively, truly addressing the problems that are raised in the reports. So if it's, for example, that's why I was giving the example, if you talk about the issue of service delivery, what the general recommendation boils down to is that the problem with IDPs not being implemented, there's a sanitation problem and there's a housing problem. Well, I mean, if we say we're going to boil the whole service delivery crisis down to 3 recommendations dealing with those 3 issues, I don't think it's adequate. So what I want to say is the recommendations should speak more closely to the crisis in the local municipalities which are giving rise to the recommendations we're making. And I don't think that does it adequately. Thanks.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. Since I came late, sorry about that. I think we are talking about the structure of the report itself. Going back to the terms of reference or the aim of the committee, as I see here in chapter 1, the aim of the committee was to obtain insights and understanding of the state of service delivery as well as the root causes of widespread service delivery protests witnessed throughout South Africa. Then the terms of reference. Conducting public hearings at Parliament and in all the 9 provinces, conducting coordinated oversight visits in rural and urban areas, the most important thing now, and tabling a report consisting of clear and achievable recommendations with the most important one again, important squared, with a proposed implementation plan. I haven't seen that. The recommendations are there. The proposed implementation plan is what I don't see in this report. Thank you.
Let me take it further. Because hearing from other speakers, it was important to remind ourselves of what the terms of reference were. In as much as some of us feel that we should deal with specific municipalities and so on, but broadly speaking, the mandate was to come up with a solution to the South African problem that means emanating from this. We shouldn't be necessarily focused on what was happening, where we visited them. In as much as that, gave us some evidence, you know, empirical evidence to say these are the actual causes. But we needed to have an across the country kind of a view that says this is how we can resolve this problem. Now, in that, that's fine. We already have systems in place. We already have laws in place. Part of what we were there to do was to look at whether this service delivery happens within that context and the process because of some of the frustrations, either legislatively or whatever. Because we have got mechanisms for that to try and deal with the situation, but these problems remain. What may be the problem? I thought, let's have a problem with to say, a little look at the system, we think we are fine, it's not the system. It's just the technologies involved. So they were able to differentiate, and where it may affect the system, whether it's your intergovernmental fora or whatever kind of thing, that may be a problem. We should analyze it. And saying that are different ones. Where is watertight and so on, the problem is individuals involved. We should be able to think, then what is partners? I would say some of the things, you may not do anything based on individuals, the system is okay. You know, I'm not just comparing that from here. Because if we talk business, we may end up trying to come up with other mechanisms when they are there already. But the problem may be if you have put this particular individual, depending on that individual, you may either have problems or you may not have those problems. It's not that easy, you know. Like when we're talking municipalities and corruption, we're talking the supply chain. Can we have this committee now that we've gone off the ground and we know what happened? Are we able to say on the supply chain mechanisms, what are the problems? Is it the system itself or is it just something that is beyond the system? So, you know, on all of those particular aspects, I think if we were to be able to come up with that, to take on this area, is it the system, is it the technology, so if we are able to describe a particular solution which may be clear as to what is it, otherwise it would be the way they are. can be taken back to the mechanisms that were. To think, well, maybe there is this or maybe there is this, and so what are you talking about? So thank
you. Okay, anybody else?
Okay. Members, I think the JJ provides the best overarching response in putting together the report. That's the framework that we should have used in order to populate it with the evidence that we collected in each municipality and in each province. So in going through redesigning it, the objective must be to do that. Here's a framework, this is what we were asked to go and do. In the evidence that we collected, in the documentation that we have, here are patterns that are emerging in response to one and two and three. For example, principally, where we went to, what I hear, people were saying, we reported, we did not get responses. So in other words, what you were saying earlier on is that the prior issue there was we reported, we communicated, we did not get a response. And I'm sure in each of the three groups that would have been asked. Because we were asked, what is the reason for this? That, for me, is the number one issue. In other words, the likelihood, in quotes, would be that if there had been a response, we may not have seen this thing happening. So what I'm saying to this team here behind us here, that's the message that the committee is sending, that this report must be redesigned to answer the question. Here was the attempt, here was the request by Parliament. These are the answers that emerge from the evidence that we have collected. This 103 and those that we left out because we thought they were insignificant. But do they indicate a trend, a pattern, to this issue? So even if at the end of the day we have specific recommendations, for example, as we went along in the provinces, we took action, said, we wrote to MECs, we intervened to say do this and so on. There are instances where responses were given, there are instances where we still haven't received responses. So in a sense you can have some of those things in between them. That's the first part of what should happen with the evidence here. But the other one, you must remember that the reason we postponed going into action, so to speak, as this committee, was that we had argued that there's a turnaround strategy that should be before us. And we received a presentation to us about it that said this is how we intend to implement this. So part of the things we heard as we moved around was how ready or not ready to implement this turnaround strategy inside those municipalities. So in a sense, we said we don't want to do what the department was doing. They had gone around to identify problems, and then they generated this turnaround strategy as a way to deal with it. And we heard certain responses. Many of them, for example, in Mpumalanga, they told us with a draft. In Pietermaritzburg, we haven't yet gone out to get support for it. In Bombela, they posted, we think this one should be followed everywhere in the country. I mean, like, I'm just saying that as a response to that specific question, there's a trend there, a pattern there of reaction to this thing. So this is what we are saying. We located that way in response to the terms of reference and the reason why we were told. And people, the other one which JJ did not read, says recommendation for the improvement of the quality service going forward. So that's the way we would like to see this recommendation. So, Honorable Domin, while the specifics of each one of our three teams are important, they are important only to the extent to which they fit into a pattern in response to the frame of reference. Now, there is no harm if you can meet as such between now and the next meeting. Now, I'm afraid that some of us may not sleep many hours to generate the evidence. It's already there. It just requires reorganizing to answer the question that we are supposed to answer before Parliament. And so you hear us. So that's what we would like to have. But we do want an opportunity to be given to members to do that between now and then.
purely a structural point of view as well.
Exactly.
The meat of this document is a little brief added little thing at the end, then a long story about our business, and then a little thing at the end. I would have preferred something where the narrative, the core narrative at the beginning, is what you're describing.
Yeah.
And then all the stuff that comprises the bulk of the report should be an appendix. In other words,
you've summarized
from page 10 to page 180 is the appendix, and the rest then gets put at the front as a proper.
Well, you summarized what we agreed with the research team as we entered here. There is also a report that you were part of that you guys wrote, and we are using that as a model as well. You remember that report? Led by Eunice Karim?
Yes.
Designed precisely in the way you said, and they've got it in their hands as a model for doing that. So that's what will happen. Yeah.
Any other comment that members want to make?
Now you know that it is still time, when you now have read this, to send in your recommendations, please. We do want to, the House Chairperson says that he hopes that what will come out here will please them, the outcome. And JJ, I'll give you a chance. Just to say, member, that there was a document based on analysis of reports that firstly we as a committee, for example, or rather the COCTA, no, it was the provincial local government committee that held service delivery protest hearings here. We invited the University of the Free State, who had done some research and so on and so on. So in the report that Parliament prepared before we were created as an ad hoc committee, we had that report given to us as a background. So one of the things we are saying to as they do that is that must find a way to incorporate it into these observations, because some of those observations were valid that were made in that background report. But there must be aspects of it that are fed into the recommendation, so that they're not excluded from that consideration. It's an important part of the work that we are doing, and we cannot incorporate it into this. We never even made it public, for example, that report that Parliament did. It only served to us as a background document, if you remember. So it's important that it features in there. Yes, JJ.
Thank you, Congressman.
Honorable Marke.
I see here there seems to be a forward and the content.
The what?
The table of content.
Yeah.
I think it's very important that we have.
Yeah.
my point is more specific. We have meetings scheduled for tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. What we do in those, are they still standing or are they off?
Yeah, no, not clearly the work that has to be done first before we do that. It does impact on the year. Can we very much, members. Take a cool drink if you so wish. Thank you very much for coming.